Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Parsha Halacha and the Parsha Shir. After 5 weeks in Eretz Yisrael with NCSY Summer, it is really special to be back here in Fair Lawn, New Jersey, reunited. Parshas Ekev has the famous mitzvah known as benching, Birkas Hamazon. So I thought this evening we would go through some basics about benching. So number one, what's the context in the Torah? A little bit of drush, a little bit of Parshanut. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life is telling Klal Yisrael that Hashem is going to take Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Tova, etc., made of Chita, Seor, Gefen, Te'ena, etc. V'achalta, v'savata, v'irachta, as Hashem Elokech al Arz, ha'atova, asher nasan lach. Again, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to bless God. And then the very next pasuk, Yisham elcha pentishkach, as Hashem Elokech. Be very careful lest you forget about Hashem. And the next pasuk, Pentochal v'savatu v'atim tovim tivneh v'yashavt. Essentially, you're going to be so satisfied in Israel with all the wonderful physicalities, you're going to forget about Hashem. So argues the Ramban over here that the context of benching is as follows. That when you eat and you're satisfied, you should remember when life wasn't so good. When you're having your falafel and your laffa in Eretz Yisrael, you should remember when back in the day you were in Egypt. And therefore, when you eat and you're satisfied, you're going to come to bless Hashem. And the Ramban continues by saying that the land that we're on is the land that feeds us. That's why the Pasuk mentions Eretz Yisrael. But this Ramban puts it all together, namely, that we have to appreciate the contrast, that the journey from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael should automatically require us to not forget about Hashem, very similar to the mitzvah of Bikurim, in my humble opinion, right? When we say at the Seder night, right, Arami Ovid Ovi, you see the whole process. So when you work hard in Eretz Yisrael and you don't only appreciate that you have a shawarma, but you appreciate like, wow, like we now, like imagine like, oh my gosh, how do we have Eretz Yisrael almost since 1948? Look at all the various fields and the factories. It's like such a miracle that there's fresh bread in Israel. In a very similar vein, in the Torah itself, the Ramban saying, look at that journey all the way from Mitzrayim to Israel. And when you eat that bread from Israel, you should not forget about Hashem, specifically in light of the journey we had to take in order to leave Egypt and get to Israel. But obviously the mitzvah doesn't only apply in Israel, it's in every place. But interestingly, the Ramban writes that one of the 613 mitzvahs is actually to not forget about belief in God. So in the same way there's a belief in God, positive commandment, that's the first of the Ten Commandments, the Ramban would argue there's actually an Isser Mizoraisa to not forget about Hashem. And then it's Siv in the Emek Dabar in this week's Parsha says there are two different subsets of not forgetting about Hashem. There are two different psukim and there are two different types of forgetting about Hashem. One is simply to forget that there is a God, like a problem with Emunah. But in this week's Parsha, it's actually not talking about that. It's saying that after you conquer Eretz Yisrael, you have to make sure you don't forget about Hashem in your success. That Hashem is the one who is the one who's manhigam umafarnasam. Namely, okay, you might not have struggles in your faith. You might be a believer, but do you recognize that your daily success is from Hashem? Do you really forget about Hashem on a full stomach? That's the Isser in this week's Parsha. So before we went into the halacha, I thought it was inappropriate to just put the pasuk into context. There's no question that the mitzvah of benching in its very fundamental root in the Torah is a plea to the Jewish people. Please don't forget about Hashem, the one who gave you the bread. And don't forget about the journey Klal Yisrael had to take in order to get the wheat out of that field. And again, since coming out of Eretz Yisrael, it is so inspirational to see how much construction is going on. And you don't take a loaf of bread for granted in Eretz Yisrael when you see all the trucks and the field, and it's just this booming system that's Baruch Hashem working. We don't take anything for granted. Okay, so a little bit of hashkafa before we go into the halacha. Is benching a mitzvah midoraisa? Absolutely. It's a pasuk in this week's parsha. When is it a mitzvah midoraisa? When you're full. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, right? So the famous Gemara of Avira says, he sometimes quoted Rabbi Ami, sometimes quoted Rabbi Asi, Gemara brachos chafam and beis. The Malachim said, hey Hashem, why do you favor the Jewish people so much, so you're not supposed to take a bribe, so to speak. It is this Vayisa Hashem Panav Elecha. There's a certain like favoritism kiviyachal towards the Jewish people. And Hashem says, well, very simple. I only require them to bench when they're full. And they are makpet to bench when they have far less. Even if you have a little bit of bread, they still bench. Now, for the implications of this Gemara is that the mitzvah midoraisa is only to bench when you're full. In fact, that is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, mitzvahs asay min ha-tor levarich achar achilas mazon. So we have to bench, v'achalta v'savata v'rachta, v'eino chayv min ha-torah ele imikein saveya, in the case you're actually full. Because the Torah says, v'savata, right, umidivei sofrim achal afilu kezayis mivarich achar. So we know that if you have a kezayis of bread, you absolutely have to bench midirabanan, but midaraisa when you are full. So who cares whether or not mitzvah is midoraisa or midorabanan? How does that play out? Play itself out in a practical manner. Suffolk, right? If you're not sure whether or not you benched, do you have to bench again? So what would you say? If you're full, so then what? It's a suffolk midoraisa. If you're not full, then it's a suffolk midorabanan, right? So it says the Shulchan Aruch Chof Pedalid Dalid Achal Ve'ena Yodeya Im Beirach. Oh gosh. I ate, but I don't know if I benched. Sarich levarach misafek. I need to bench again. Mipnei shehin min haTorah. So is the Shulchan Aruch only talking about when you're full or not? It doesn't say that black and white in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It doesn't say that black and white. So we have to say the Mishabur black and white only when you're full. Exactly what Jerome said. Right, so we assume, according to Rav Poskim, there's only a suffolk midoraisa if you're full. Very nice. The only thing is that there is another school of thought in the Rishonim which hold that even the kezayis and the kibetzah might even be a din midoraisa. That's, in fact, the opinion of the Ramban and the Machamas Hashem. But let's not elaborate on that. That's not the mainstream opinion. And in fact, the Mishabura is the one who says it's Rav Poskim who hold, like our opinion over here, that it's only if you're full, literally, you know, full physically, you're satisfied, and that's when it would be a suffolk midoraisa. However, mikol makom roi li rei shamayim, let's say you want to be yotze all of the opinions, you forgot if you benched, but I'm not really full. So what would be a way to get out of your suffolk? Eat more. Ah, Jerome.
But if you benched, you've got a problem.
Very good. So you know what you should do? Eat more, seemingly, with a bracha. Right. So Yitol says the Mishabur brew in the name of the Chaya Adam, you should wash again, make a motzi, and then have a kezayis and make a and have benching, and have in mind if I didn't bench the first time, I have that in mind. I have. Now it wouldn't be a bracha levatala. Why?
Because you're
hezekadas. Right. I mean, in your head, that first meal is over. It's totally over. So to eat again would certainly be a new meal. That would warrant a new bracha rishona. So this happens. Very nice. Very nice, dude. I like that. Very nice. So there's two coolers in play there. Very nice. So Shlomo's saying maybe you should take a walk around the block or something to really make sure that you have to make a new bracha rishona. Right? Very good. And if it's achilas gasa, you're really not supposed to bench. So that would be another point to make. Yeah, Robert. Would you? Oh, okay, yeah, very good. I like it. Yeah. This is what life's about. These are the shyness. Yeah, Barker, this is what life's all about. These are the questions. Every question will be addressed in the Marmakom. So if it's your full, it's a midoraisa. So you should bench again. How much of benching is midoraisa? 3 out of 4 brachas. So should you bench all 4 brachas again? So maybe only 1 bracha, right? So the Gemara discusses who instituted which brachas, and it's not really clear how to learn that Gemara. So ultimately, we'll just skip to the bottom line, because it's not at all clear if the actual text of the bracha is midoraisa, if you only need one. Let's assume like the common Halacha lemaisa theory that the first 3 brachas of benching are midoraisa, and the 4th bracha is only midorabanan. Yet, nonetheless, the halacha would be, if you're in a safek midoraisa, you're not sure if you benched and you're full, you feel full, you should bench again. All four brachos. Why? Because all four brachos are one unit. Mishabura says that, the Aruch HaShulchan says that. We don't want to, the Mishabura phrases it as follows. You don't want to disgrace the fourth bracha. If you were to only repeat benching by saying the three brachos and not the fourth one, that would be almost insulting to the fourth midrabanan bracha. We don't want to do that because, you know, why would you specifically single out the fourth bracha as being inferior? Do you know, the rabbanan are very important. You don't want to have such a blatant... Yeah, that's true also. Okay. Shh. Okay. That's a good question. I don't know. We have to scratch our heads on that one. But not for now. More head scratching later this evening. The Aruch HaShulchan, he is the one who phrases the alumnus a little bit differently. He says that benching is a unit of four brachos. So you can never dissect it into three and one. It's one unit. So if the halacha wants you to bench again, that means you bench all four brachos. Okay. So just to conclude this part of the shiur about what's a midoraisa, what's a midorabanan. So if you're full, that's a deoraisa. And the Sefer HaChinuch, as Stuart asked, would argue that that is a subjective term. That what makes you full is not necessarily the same thing that makes me full. And there's room to argue that there is a different shiur for different Jews, right? And some people are full on one slice of pizza, some people are not full on three slices of pizza. So I think there is room for subjectivity. And this is where it comes out. Let's say you only had a kezias of bread. So do you have to bench? Absolutely. Now, kezias, let's assume it's around the size of an egg. So you have a little bit of a small roll. Do you have to bench? 1,000%. Everyone should be very, very clear that you have to bench anytime you have a little bit of bread, not a speck of bread, not a tiny piece of bread, but, you know, certainly one slice of bread is, you know, well over kezias. And you have to bench midurabanan, right, even though you're not full. Right, so Stuart's working on a new article about this or no? Are you working on a new article on this? Part of it, very good. So there's a lot of discussion about the size of the kezias, but the Mishaburu already quotes the Sefer HaChinuch in this week's Parsha that the shiur, the measurement for svia, for satisfaction, physical satiation, is subjective. But here's an interesting chiddush. He says, "V'im darcho tamid lechol kidei mechiyaso," if your way is to only eat less than the max, let's say you always have a sandwich for lunch. Now, the truth is, when you finish your sandwich, you're not exactly full, but that's your lunch. That's what you eat. Then, argues the Mishabura, that's called kidei sevia. Meaning, what you normally eat as your lunch, that's a din d'oraisa at a bench. So I'm not sure, oi, did I bench or not? Is that a something d'oraisa or not? So since it was my normal lunch, the chiddush here is that, well, that would be a something d'oraisa, because that's normally my michya. So even though in Akanami I'm not filled to the max, but the Mishabura says if that's what you normally eat, that's also considered kidei sevia.
And that would depend. Different meals and different things.
Aha, very smart.
What about a
pras? Very smart, very good.
What about a pras?
You have to eat it within a certain measurement of time.
No, but a pras is considered to be a meal, right?
Ah, very good. So that's where he's coming from, you're saying.
Yeah, so maybe it's a pras. So why don't they just do the share of a
Yeah, machlokas were half, three or four, yeah.
So it's 6 to 8
Yeah, I don't know why they don't use that. Maybe they assume people get full earlier. All right, but the question that was asked earlier was, let's say you eat a little bit of bread. It's very common at a wedding. So Rav Moshe has the tshuva. He was writing to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt on Tuba'av in Tavshin Lamed Beis, and we recognize the patira of Rav Nata Greenblatt, his son. So dynasty, right? What?
Uncle.
Oh, I'm wrong? Okay, it was his nephew. Whatever, his uncle-nephew relationship. Rav Ephraim is Montreal, Rabbi?
No.
Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. So it's a Nata Greenblatt, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who just passed away this year. But Rav Chaim Greenblatt was asking to Rav Moshe the following shaila. I ate a kezias of bread, and I filled up on other foods. So at a wedding, you might have a little roll, you know. Or at a restaurant, you might wash and have a little bit of bread. But the real filler is your main dish, the chicken, the meat, whatever. So is that a benching on a d'oraisa level or not? Because technically you're full, but what filled you up? It wasn't the bread that filled you up. The bread was the nice appetizer almost. But the real filler was the main course, which was not bread. But Rav Moshe says, no, that is considered a benching me d'oraisa, no question about it. He brings a proof from the way we eat korbanos, that we used to eat a ton of basar shlamim, and especially on the Seder night. It is that if you were to argue that you always need to be full from bread, and only bread, he would argue that no one ever actually benched on a d'oraisa level in the Torah, and that's for poor people. I don't want to get into the Lord Tshuva, but he points out that you still have an obligation to bench on a d'oraisa level as long as you're full and you had a kezias of bread, even if technically what really filled you up was chicken and meat or whatever. But if you had a kezias of bread and you're full, that's a d'oraisa benching. Oh, very good. So it's a very, very good point. So Peter points out that's like every Shabbos, right? What are the odds that you're actually full on Shabbos day from the challah, right? Not very high. But you had a kezias of challah and you had cholent and cocoa and chicken or whatever. So that's exactly it. So Rav Moshe says that's called benching. That's the d'oraisa, of course, right? It's a very, very good point. And he also points out here that if you don't have a kezias of bread, you don't have a chiv to bench at all, not even midi rabbanon. So it should be very clear to us that if you have a kezias, you have to bench the rabbanon. If you're full, if the bench is the oraisa level, that could come up. Yeah. Ah, very smart. So absolutely, right. There's no starting point unless you have a kezias of bread. Yeah.
Right.
Benching, 100%. That's right. So, right. So, where would this might this come up? If you have like a bread, whatever, in your salad, and you have like this huge salad, and you have a less than a kezias of bread, and for, I don't know, let's say you made bread comes out of real bread, it's like real pita, whatever, and you didn't have a kezias of bread, but you're really, really full. You don't bench on that. Meaning, you know, sometimes their croutons are problematic depending on how they make them. Usually, it's not a problem at all. All right, I don't want to dwell too much on that, but that's the fundamentals of the Oraisa Derabanan. But everyone should know the din of the Yireim, Rabbi Elazar Mintz, famously brought down by the Mordechai, made more famous because it's Paskin the Shulchan Aruch by the Rama. The Rama says, maybe you still had a kezias and you're full and you still don't have a chiyuv midoraisa to the bench. Why? Because you're still thirsty. The opinion quoted here in the name of the Mordechai, which is really the Re'im originally, let's say you're thirsty. You should make sure that you drink. Again, the Mishnah Berurah points out, if you're not thirsty, you don't have to worry about this. But the Gemara says, and that means you only have to bench midoraisa if you drink, if you're thirsty. Very smart. Let's assume it's not wine. There's a whole Gemara, very good. But if you're not thirsty, you're not thirsty. But if you're thirsty, then you might not have a chiyuv mida oraisa. That would affect who should bench if one person is benching for another person. We don't really do that anymore. But the great Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, he also passed away this year, right? It was this since last Rosh Hashanah, right? Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, right? That was this year, no? He has a sefer, and believe it or not, he brings down a real story of the Chafetz Chaim. Whoa. The Chafetz Chaim was makbid to drink whenever he ate. And his son-in-law, Rav Mendel Zaks, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asked his father-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, is the Rebbe drinking because of the sheet of the Mordechai, of the Re'im? Meaning, you want to be makbid to make sure you're really benching midoraisa? And the Chafetz Chaim's response, probably in Yiddish at the time, was, and if so, what difference does it make to you? Meaning, v'im b'shvil kach, ma'ich baslach, meaning, don't ask me that. I.e. what? The Chafetz Chaim wasn't looking to make problems. That's what it says in the Sefer. The derech of the Chafetz Chaim was shelo litvacheach. I mean, I don't want to make people machmir. That's not my goal over here. My goal is to drink. Whether I'm being machmir for the Yireyim or not is not the main point. Wow. Tonight, who is it like that also? My Rebbe Meir Tversky. Sometimes we try to get secrets out of Meir Tversky. Because he's very tzanua. Very tzanua, but also machmir in his own ways. So always try to look for little things that he did. And when we would call him out on it, he wouldn't like acknowledge the question. like what? Like you're asking me a question about me? Like what? Let's talk about something more important. He didn't value his own shitas as something worth talking about. Like what are you trying to do right now? One time I had a question and answer publicly. I asked him a question, and because it was publicly, it was in public. If he were to ignore my question, it would have been embarrassing me in public. So he had to answer the question. I asked him a question. Yeah, I got around it. Like I knew how to get around it. So that was a good shtick. Whatever. Right. And he hasn't spoken to me since then. He's the best. But I just thought that was so cool just to see a story about the Chafetz Chaim. All right. Now, this Yireyim, which seemingly was a nice chumrah, you might not want to don't be thirsty, leads to a huge issue. Huge issue. Of Aryeh Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, speaks about this. Chazon Ish, of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Believe it or not, all the Gdolim are machbid for the following Shaila. So let's say you have a nice meal, right? And you have a barbecue. You have the bench, you're full, right? You bench. After benching, you drink a little bit. So when at the time you benched, you were thirsty. Now that you drink, what just happened? You're only satisfied what? With the drink, which you only drank after benching. So do you want to argue, potentially, which would be horrific, did you just shoot your benching in the foot? At the time when you benched, you weren't Chaim Midoraisa. Only now you're really full. Oh gosh, you know what Rav Aryeh Leib Steinman says in the Sefer Ayala Sashach in this week's Parsha? If you ate, you benched, and only after you finished benching did you drink, now you need to bench Midoraisa. And you're not Yotze with the benching you benched. Yee. And Rav Sternbach in the Tshuvas Van Hagos, he speaks about the minhag that everyone drinks tea after benching. I've seen this. Sfaradim, Israelis. You know, Friday night tea, ever see this? People who are very serious about their tea. They like Friday night tea. They have a special like glass for it. You don't have like a stam mug. You have like, it's like a beer thing. You know, like a beer mug. So they use it for tea. I've seen very serious tea drinkers. So after benching, they get in a circle. it's like Kiddush Club for tea, whatever. So I've seen this. I've seen, you should all be zocher to see this in your lifetime. It's a very special occasion. Or if you dive in like the right mincha on 47th Street, like at a good Svarti diamond dealer, they give you tea and wafers after mincha also. It's not so uncommon. And Rav Schoenbach speaks about this, that they would bench, and then they drink tea. Oh gosh, this is awful. That's what he says. Because now that they finish their tea, they have to now bench. So he was not sure what to do. He says, but guess what? So we had one real story from the Chafetz Chaim. We have one real story from the Sfas Emes also. He says of Sternbach, I saw a letter that Rav Avram Mordechai Alter. So is that the Imre Emes? I don't know the dynasty. Wait, is the Sfas Emes? And the Imre Emes? Who is the Sfas Emes' son? They're the three, right? I don't know the dynasty by heart, unfortunately. But the Sfas Emes wrote a letter to his son, Rav Avram Mordechai Alter, about this exact kasha. And the Sfas Emes thought that was not correct. The Sfas Emes thought that if you ate and you benched, the Torah says you were supposed to bench. The Torah never said you have to wait until you're satisfied to bench. The Torah says if you have a sandwich, so even if you're not 100% full, you bench. That's what you do. So now you want to drink a little more. He didn't think that you have to bench again. He did not think that now that you are officially satisfied, it like undoes your benching. He thought that that's not what the Torah had in mind. The Torah says you eat, and you finish eating, you bench. So again, there's a lot there, but ironically, a lot of the folks are machbid for this question. So something that should really be avoided is that you don't want to eat 90% of your meal, bench, and then finish your meal afterwards, because it could really ironically shoot your benching in the foot. But again, this is pretty easy to avoid. I mean, ultimately, if you eat normally, you drink normally at a meal, by the time you're ready to bench, you're pretty full, you're pretty satisfied, right? Hypothetically, if you were really thirsty and you knew that there was a drink on the way, wait for the drink to come before you bench. But yeah. If you drink, it would allow you, but it still might undo your benching. Yeah. Okay. So let's go through some of the more classical shilas on benching. So if you eat in a location, you should bench before you leave that location. And let's say you left and you forgot to bench. Are you allowed to bench? This happens all the time, right? You leave the wedding and you say, Rabbi, I forgot to bench. Am I allowed to bench in the car? So it depends if you did it intentionally or unintentionally. Let's just assume bottom line halacha right now that if he might have says the Shulchan Aruch, la Rambam yivarech b'makom shen his car. Baruch Hashem, you can rely on the sheet of the Rambam. So this happens fairly often, unfortunately, for better or worse, rather, that you forget to bench and you made a mistake. So can you bench on the road? You can bench on the road. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rush, would disagree, and they would say you have to go back. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that it's obviously appropriate, it's best to go back and bench where you ate. But, if you're in a pinch and you're shas at chak, so you know what? You can bench on the road. So this happened once. That does not work unless you finish eating there. You're allowed to have in mind to finish eating somewhere else. That's a thing. That you can have in mind to start your hamotzi meal over here, to end your hamotzi meal over there, and then you have end your hamotzi meal over there. And that's actually a way to get around this. That's a very good way to get around this. No, the Mishnah Berurah said no. You need to have bread there. Real bread. That happens a lot. Kazayas. Oh, I think even less than a kazayas. As long as it's bread, even less than a kazayas. The sukkah is usher no matter. There's all day. So say the sukkah hops. My wife in her Ruach HaKodesh and her Bina Yaser, she's opposed vehemently to sukkah hops. She thinks it's just bad. She's not into them. And therefore I'm not into them. So, she thinks it's not a good chinuch to like just go around getting candy stuff in your face and like running around Fairlawn, New Jersey with like, you know, like trick or treating or whatever. That's mama, you know what it is. So I was actually very into them until this past circus. My wife gave like the best musar shmooze ever. She's like, this is just like not good. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Yeah. So since then, I've stopped participating. Since circus, I have not had any circus. You know, Elul's coming up. Yeah, we have to start doing tshuva. Yeah, maybe next week my wife should sub. Should put us all on the right path. All right, anyway, let's go on. All right, let's go. 5 minutes remaining. Let's blitz a little bit. So again, if you forgot the bench, ideally go back to where you ate. If it's, you know, if you can. If you can, you can. The famous Shaila. How long do you have to bench? How long do you have to bench? I forgot to bench. Can I still bench? 70 minutes. That's the famous number. 70 minutes, right? Oh, those are the days. So there's no 72 minutes in Shulchan Aruch. So it's a thing. And we'll talk about the Shaila I received from Eretz Yisrael from one of the holy women of Fairlawn, New Jersey. Ad emasa yachal levarich, says Shulchan Aruch Chupay Dalet, hey, for how long can you bench? Ad sheyisakel amazon shebimeyav, until your stomach digests the food. Well, how long does that take? Says the Shulchan Aruch, kol zman she'enu ra'ev. Meaning if you're not hungry, if you're still full, you're still full. So we often think that 72 minutes is the exclusion of 73 minutes. And if it's 78 minutes, I can't bench anymore. That's not true. Why? If you're still full, you can still bench. What if you're not sure? What if you were never really full in the first place? Meaning I had a bagel. I'm not full. I had a half a bagel. Whatever, I had a mini bagel. I'm not really full. I forgot to bench. Can I bench? So that's when the 72 minutes thing comes into play, where we assume that the shasa equal, the time your body takes to digest the food, is 72 minutes, and that's when it would come into play. The only point to point out is that sometimes we have a long, long delay in the middle of meals. And as long as you're in one meal, it's okay to have a 72-minute gap. So this was the question I received this summer. A very, very, we'll say, impressive woman in the neighborhood texted me the following shaila. I ate most of a wrap, intending to finish it after an appointment. That's a key part of the shaila. She wanted to finish eating, but she had a doctor's appointment. The doctor's appointment took longer than expected, longer than 72 minutes, almost 2 hours. She said, I'm guessing I need to make a new bracha. And do I even bench? Because what's left is not a lot. So if I'm not mistaken, I think I correctly answered her that no, it was really one extended meal. Because when she ate, she wanted to continue eating. It was like a long meal that was paused, like in the middle of the wedding. You wash, and then there's the first dance. So let's say the first dance is longer than 72 minutes, hypothetically. Right? So if you're sipping water the whole time anyway, it's not a big deal. But here, if I'm not mistaken, because it was one meal and she never lost track, her thoughts were never drifting from that wrap, she always intended to finish her meal. So even though it was only 72 minutes, I think she could finish her wrap and bench, if I'm not mistaken, because it's one meal. Well, yeah, and as you continue eating, bench. You know, she didn't do anything wrong. You know, again, it was unexpected. Yeah. I hear that. Yeah, but she knows I'm talking about Motzi. I hear that.
And the dance was really part of the meal.
Yeah, but yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think because she had in mind and she never forgot about it, she was able to finish her rap without a new bracha rishona, and she could certainly not lose her benching because it was all one meal. That's a fancy question. If she'd have exiles for her, no, it has to be kedeichah. No, that would not be her. No, but she had a half. She had more than exiles first, so she had a chiyuv to benching, and I don't think she lost it. So if I'm not mistaken, she was able to continue her sandwich without a bracha and bench. Just some lighter halachas that are maybe less spoken about. Benching with a kos. So there's a three-way machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. Opinion number one is that you're not allowed to bench unless you have a kos. Opinion number two is that you absolutely need a kos if you have three. Opinion number three is you never need a kos. And we assume like that, right? You never need a kos, but it should be noted if you have a zimun, you should really bench with a kos. It's certainly mitzvah min hamuvchar. So every Shabbos, if you have guests or if you have three males in your family, whatever, if your extended family is over for Shabbos, etc. So I would say we often overlook this one. Benching on Shabbos. If you have a Zimun, bench a la kos. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's a bench a la kos. It really should be done, I would say, more often than it is. Not that you need to. We don't possibly like that opinion. Even if, I don't know. But sure not. But as you know, there's no chiv. I don't know if it's a kiyum. It's the reverence of kos yishuos esa, right? So seemingly not. Deoraisa, I don't know enough about the background there, though. You know, and it should also be noted, less common in our community per se, but we should certainly be sensitive to it, that the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, that there's a concept of wearing a hat for benching of Itif. So even if you never wear a hat, I do wear a jacket when I say Shmon Esrei, so I try to put my jacket on for benching as well. It should be noted. Ideally, also when we bench with a Zimun, we should all bench at the same time. You know, we should be in unison, because the bench with a Zimun is to really bench from beginning to end as a unit. It should be noted. The most important benching halacha that we'll conclude with is asur levarech v'osek malachto. When you're benching, you shouldn't be doing other things. And in our generation, we shouldn't be preoccupied with our phones and whatever. It's so hard for us to stay focused on anything we do. As we started, the whole point of benching is to not forget about Hashem. And how ironic it would be if we were preoccupied doing other things while we're trying to do a mitzvah whose whole intention was to not take Hashem for granted. So this is repeated in Shulchan Aruch. So it's two times. Asar lasos malacha ba'od mevarach. So we should all be zochet to bench with kavana and not take the Ribono Shel Olam for granted. And we should be zochet to taste the chita and the seora of Eretz Yisrael, Be'ezras Hashem.